Okay. So today I want to talk about something that we actually spoke about a few years ago when we spoke about women in Tanakh, when we spoke about Rachel and Leah, but I'd like to, you know, give a little bit of a different approach. So in this week's Parsha, the Parsha deals with the creation of Klal Yisrael, right? We have Yaakov Avinu, who, based on his father's command, goes to marry a daughter from Benot Lavan, and he works for 7 years for Rachel, and in the end, Lavan tricks him, and he switches Leah for Rachel. And Yaakov unknowingly marries Leah, and then he has to work another 7 years for Rachel. So, you know, this story really needs to be understood. The marriage of Yaakov Avinu is obviously not just a private matter, but rather it pertains to the building of Klal Yisrael. The whole future and the whole image of Klal Yisrael are contingent upon this. You know, a simple reading of the Pesukim would indicate that Yaakov's marriage to Leah was happenstance. You know what? It simply occurred because Laban was a tricky man, and he decided to trick Yaakov, and he switched Leah for Rachel, and so therefore, you know, he married Leah as well. But, you know, it can't possibly be understood that the whole foundation of Klal Yisrael is based on and built on Laban's tricks. Obviously, there's something significant and calculated going on here. And even beyond Laban's involvement in Yaakov's marriage to Leah also begs for explanation. You know, Chazal tell us that Yaakov gave a certain sign, certain simanim to Rachel, because he suspected that Laban was actually going to trick him. And then Rachel, out of the goodness of her heart, she has pity on her sister Leah, and she gives over to Leah the simanim so that she can marry Yaakov instead of her, and not get caught up in the deception. You know, and Chazal actually view what Rachel did as extraordinary. You know, therefore she's rewarded. The Medrash tells us, "Ubishvil sheRachel b'tzniusa masra simana miYaakov laAchota shelo titbayesh zachta v'yatzu mimena banim tznuim anshei sod." You know, actually, you know what she did because of her great tznius, that she was able to give over these signs, these simanim, to her sister, so that Leah should not be embarrassed. She was zocha, she merited that she would have special children that come out of her that were also tsnuim and anshei sod. You know, and the truth is, Rachel's behavior also needs explanation. You know, what is the tzidkus in her actions, right? Yaakov worked for her for 7 years. He even gave her simanim to prevent this exact scenario, right? That Laban doesn't switch her for Leah. And then how does Rachel go and trick Yaakov and give over the simanim to Leah? In order to prevent the embarrassment for her sister, you know, can she cause bad to Yaakov and undo the agreement that he made with her? He made an agreement with her. So because she feels badly for Leah, she's going to hurt Yaakov now? Also, we have to question Leah's behavior. You know, she too was involved in her father's trickery. In fact, this was Yaakov's complaint to her. He, in the Medrash of Bereishis Rabbah, says, "Amar la remisa bas rama alav, belaila hu karina Rachel anisali." You know, after the whole situation in the morning, when Yaakov realizes, hey, this is not Rachel, this is Leah, he turns to her and he says, you know, Leah, you tricked me. You are a trickster, a Ramai, the daughter of a trickster. You know, in the nighttime, when I said, Rachel, you answered me. You tricked me. And what does she respond to him? You know, you can think of a million different responses. I'm sorry. I was in a sticky situation. You're right. I got caught off guard. I didn't know how to tell you, etc. But what does Leah answer? Amrele, atzi perd li talmidim. Lokach hayatz avech lach avech esav avicha esav v'at anile. Leah answers. She says, I learned from the best. You know, I learned from you. I'm your student, right? You know, when you went in to get the brachos from Yitzchak, you acted in the same way that I acted. You know, he said, your father called you Esav, and you answered as if you're Esav. So see, what I did is no different than what you did. You know, we need to understand Leah's response. It can't be that she's simply trying to shtach Yaakov, you know, or to let him know that he also acted inappropriately. Can you imagine this is the beginning of their marriage? He has a tainar to him, and she says, oh, you do the same thing. So therefore, you know, how can we understand what Leah is saying to him? You know, even if he acted inappropriately, it doesn't justify how she acted towards him. You know, and it must be that Leah's answer is somehow responding to Yaakov's complaint. It can't simply be that she's trying to, you know, just shtach him or outwit him or outsmart him. So we need to understand how the way Yaakov acted with Yitzchak explains the way Leah acted with Yaakov. And then later in the Parsha, we have another troubling conversation that has to do with the marriage of Yaakov to Rachel and Leah. The Pasuk says, "Vatomer Rachel Leah, tzni nali miduze ebencha." you know, Rachel's married and she has no children, and Reuven brings, you know, his mother these dudaim from the fields, and some say that, you know, it was for fertility, you know, and she says to her, you know, can you please share them with me, you know, and she can respond so many things. What does she say to her? Vatomerla, hamaat kachtat ishi v'lakachta gam et dudaei b'ni. Is it not enough that you took my husband's? Now you want the dudaim for my son? Hold on a second. This answer is really troubling, you know. Wasn't it Rachel that was originally supposed to marry Yaakov? You know, he worked for her for 7 years, and only because she had pity on Leah, she allowed Leah to be given in her place. This is a huge sacrifice on Rachel's part. Now she had to wait another 7 years to marry Yaakov. Now, not only does Leah refuse to share the dudaim with Rachel, and show Rachel hakaras hatov, but she has a complaint against Rachel, that Rachel actually took her husband. You know, this begs for clarification. We also have to understand Yaakov's behavior towards Leah. You know, from the Pesukim, it seems that Leah was actually hated in Yaakov's eyes. The Pesuk says, Vayar Hashem kisnu Leah, that Hashem saw that Leah was hated. Therefore, she calls her first son Reuven. Ra'ah Hashem be'ani ki ata ya'ahav veini ishi. You know, that Hashem saw my suffering, and now my husband will love me. And when Shimon was born, ki shema Hashem kisnu anochi. Hashem heard that, you know, that I was hated. And when Levi, hapam yilvej ishi elai, my husband will now come to me. You know, how do we understand this? Like, did Yaakov not keep the mitzvah of yahavta l'recha kamocha? You know, is it possible that, you know, Yaakov harbored hatred in his heart towards his wife Leah? All these, you know, things need clarification. I saw this mahalach in a sefer called Shiras Yam by Rav Zweig. So, you know, before we go into the answer, I just want to summarize, you know, some of the troubling things that we've seen till now. One, Leah's not just Yaakov's wife. She's the mother of Klal Yisrael. You know, so how can it be that Lavan's tricks cause this, you know, chance marriage? Also, what chassidus is there in Rachel giving Leah the simanim and allowing her to go in her place? In this action, she herself tricks Yaakov. Three, Yaakov sees Leah's act as ramos, as trickery, and she responds, I learn from you. You know, we need to understand how her answer and why she acted like this. You know, what did she learn from Yaakov that caused her to act like this?
Let me just ask you a question. So Lavan wasn't really involved in the trickery when, you know, Rachel and Leah switched. It was, you know, Rachel decided to...
Well, no, Lavan decided to switch them, and Rachel decided to give the simanim over so that when Yaakov would ask for them, Leah wouldn't be embarrassed.
Like,
Rachel helped it. It wasn't Rachel's idea, but you know, she helped it along. So it would have been under the chuppah, and then he wouldn't have given the simanim, and then it would have all been revealed.
So it was Lavan's idea, and Rachel led along by giving the simanim.
Yeah, because she didn't want her sister to be embarrassed. Yeah. Okay, so what is the explanation of Leah's complaint towards Rachel, that she is taking her husband, especially in light of the fact that Rachel gave her husband to Leah and gave her the simanim? And also, we need to understand, you know, why Leah was hated in Yaakov's eyes. You know, how can such a thing be? How could it be that Yaakov, you know, could it really be that Yaakov hated his wife? So in order to understand this, we have to go back to last week's parsha, to the parsha of the brachos. Yitzchak wants to bless Esav, and he says to him, Hevi elit zayid ve'avarchacha lifnei Hashem lifnei Mosi. You know, bring me, Yitzchak realizes I'm getting old, I need to bless my children, and he says, you know, bring me, you know, some food, capture me for me an animal, and I'm going to give you a bracha. You know, and it's actually puzzling that Yitzchak wants to give the Esav the brachos. You know, he has two sons, why does he want to give them to Esav? You know, Yitzchak knew of Esav's rishus. You know, we see this in his commandment to Esav. He says, "V'tzad elit zayid," you know, capture me, you know, an animal, bring for me something to eat. And Rashi explains there, "Min ha-hefker v'lo min ha-gezel." Yitzchak specifically instructs Esav, you know, when you take an animal from me, don't take it from what's hefker, from what's ownerless. Don't take it, don't steal it. You know, he actually suspected him of that. Of that possibly he would steal such a thing. And so he specifically said, when you bring to me an animal, make sure that it's not stolen goods. And in a similar vein, Chazal tell us, Nishei Esav Ovdin Avodah Zarah, that the wives of Esav worshipped idolatry. V'Yitzchak Ro'eh U'Mitzayer, and Yitzchak saw this, and he was pained by it. Miyad Kahu Einav, and because of this, his eyes became dark, meaning he lost his ability to see. Yitzchak knew what Esav was up to, and it bothered him. So then why would Yitzchak think to give such a person the brachos? Now we find this as well when Yitzchak was giving the brachos, he recognized Esav's nature as well as the tzidkus of Yaakov. Yitzchak says, Kishena ve'amshecha, come close, you know, so that I'm going to feel you, because he suspected that perhaps the person standing before him was not Esav, but rather Yaakov. And Rashi explains, Amar Yitzchak b'libo, ein derech Esav liyos shem shamayim shagor b'fiv. You know, the way Yaakov is talking, the way Esav is talking is not Esavdik. Esav doesn't usually, you know, have the name of Hashem on his lips. You know, he said to him, how did you get here so fast? How did you get the animal so fast? He said, oh, Hashem helped me capture it. He knew based on the speech. So obviously, Yitzchak knew that there was a difference between Esav and Yaakov. And in addition, he says, Hakol kol Yaakov. He says, the voice is the voice of Yaakov. And Rashi explains, She Yaakov medaber b'lashon tachnunim kumna, aval Esav b'lashon kantoria diber yakumavi. He knew in the way that they spoke. When Yaakov would speak to his father, he would say, Dad, can you please get up? When Esav would talk to his father, he would say, get up. So he knew, based on this speech, he knew that there were differences between his two children. He recognized, you know, the difference in their essence, which expressed itself in the way they spoke. You know, so then how could it be that Yitzchak chose to give Esav the brachos over Yaakov? It doesn't make sense. He has one son who he knows, you know, speaks in a certain way, you know, is always talking about Hashem. And then he has another son who knows his wives, you know, worship Avodah Zarah. And he knows that, you know, he suspects him of possibly stealing. Therefore, he says, don't take from me an animal from the stolen. You know, so then why would it be that he would choose to give Esav the brachos over Yaakov? We find in the Medrash, in the Yalkut Shmoni in Yoshua, on the Pasuk, Ha'adam ha'gadol ba'anakim, it explains, Adam, the Adam harishon, ha'gadol, elu Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, shenikru'u gedolim. Adam is talking about Adam harishon, and who's the gadol? These are our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who are called gedolim. V'Yaakov kisiv, and he goes, and, you know, I'm cutting parts, but he goes through the Pesukim to show how we see gadol by the Avos. And he says, by Yaakov, it says, Vayigdilu hana'arim. How do we see that Yaakov was a gadol? He brings a pasuk that says, Vayigdilu hana'arim. The two boys grew up. Two boys, Yaakov and Esav. And he says, Ve'esav haya bechlal. Esav was included in this gdolim. Ela shel kilkel ma'as b'masav v'biza es ha'bechora. But he messed up his ways. He ruined his actions, and he was mevaza the bechora. Meaning, Esav was actually initially included in Klal Yisrael. He was actually grouped with the Avos. But because of his actions, because of the choices he made, he ruined it. In fact, the Medrash brings an amazing comparison between both Yaakov and Esav, who they were fundamentally. The Medrash says, "B'Yaakov kisiv v'yigdalu hanarim hare Yaakov ve'Esav kishem shachal Hashem." Al Yaakov, kach hayaroi sheyachol al Esav, meaning that Yaakov and Esav grew up. That just like Hashem's name was on Yaakov, it was worthy for Hashem's name to be on Esav. Esav hayaroi sheyikra Yaakov, the Yaakov hayaroi sheyikra Esav. They were both worthy that Esav should be called Yaakov and Yaakov should be called Esav. Meaning they have the potential to be interchangeable. Esav haya ra'oi l'hamid melachim, v'Yaakov haya ra'oi l'hamid kohanim. Esav was worthy. From Esav should have come the melachim, the kings, and from Yaakov, the priests. Habrachos harishonos ru'yos la'esav, v'achronos l'Yaakov. Therefore, the first set of brachos were befitting for Esav, and the second set of brachos were befitting for Yaakov. Leah v'zilpah ru'yos la'esav. Leah and Zilpah were to marry Esav. V'rachel v'bilha ru'yos la'Yaakov. And Rachel and Bilha were worthy, were supposed to be married to Yaakov. V'nadlu mimeno kol hamatanos elu. And he took from him all of these presents, all of these gifts. You know, the Medrash tells us that at the root of their creation, Yaakov and Esav were the same. Esav was fitting to be called Yaakov. Yaakov was fitting to be called Esav. They were supposed to split the brachos and all the greatness that comes with it. There were supposed to be two portions, one of melucha, one of kingship, and one of kahuna, one of priesthood. And they would split the shvatim and the four imahos. And you know, they were both the same in that they were the progeny of Avraham and Yitzchak. Initially, there were supposed to be four avos, and four imahos. Esav had the potential and the ability to become an av, but because he made the wrong choices, he lost that right. You know, had he stayed on the right path, he would have been able to implant his ways and his kolchos into the building of Klal Yisrael, just like Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did. Esav was not meant to be a carbon copy of Yaakov, nor was he supposed to change his nature, but rather he was supposed to take his strengths and his inclinations and guide them and use them on the right path. In this way, he would have contributed his strengths and his portion into the building of Klal Yisrael. Esav was to take his quality as an Ish Yodei Tzayid, an Ish Sada, and use it as part of Klal Yisrael. As we see from the Medrash, Esav haya ro'oi la'amid melachim, v'Yaakov haya ro'oi la'amid kohanim. Meaning Esav was to give the physical part, the physical portion. He was supposed to take the role of the leadership, the role of politics, and Yaakov was meant to stay in the spiritual realm. And this is what the Gemara in Gittin Nun Zayin Amud Bet says, Hakol kol Yaakov, Ein lecha tefila shemu eles she'ein ba mizaro shel Yaakov, v'hayadayim de Esav, Ein lecha melchama shenotzeches she'ein ba mizaro shel Esav. That the voice is of Yaakov, and therefore a tefila is potent when it comes from the children of Yaakov. They have this ability. And the hands are the hands of Esav, meaning to be successful in war, war is successful when it comes from the Yadayim, from the Zera, from the offspring of Esav. Bnei Israel needed both. You know, they needed the voice of Yaakov, and they needed the hands of Esav. Esav's chelik in Klal Yisrael was in the physical realm, the hands. And if he would have continued in the path of Avram, he would have been given the power to wage war and to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And he would have been involved in the leadership and in the politics of the country and in the in the direction and the path of Yaakov, all under the umbrella of the Kol of Yaakov. And this is how Bnei Yisrael were actually meant to be built, with the collaboration and the teamwork of both Yaakov and Esav, each one completing the other. Esav's using his kochos to enable and to facilitate the ruchnias of Yaakov. And from this we can understand that Yitzchak did not intend to give the brachos to the umos ha'olam or to the ovdei avodah zarah, but rather Yitzchak wanted to give Esav the brachos out of recognition that he was an integral part of the building of Klal Yisrael. His part is needed to build the nation and the land. Yitzchak was sure that Esav would subject his kochos to those of Yaakov and use his hands under Yaakov's instructions. Therefore, the brachos that Yitzchak wanted to give Esav pertain to physical things, to gashmias. If you look in the pesukim, it says, what was the bracha that he meant to give Esav? Mital hashamayim mishmanei haaretz v'rov dagan v'sirosh. You know, you should get from the dew of the heavens and the fat of the earth and the corn and the wine, etc., all physical things. Because Yitzchak was certain that these physical blessings were shayach to Esav, because he was to be responsible for all the physical aspects of Klal Yisrael. In fact, the concept of malchus is also mentioned in the brachos. Hevei gvir la'achacha v'yishtechavu l'cha b'nei imecha. Right? That you should be the gvir, you should be the one in charge, and everyone should bow to you, because kingship is also connected to Esav, as the king is responsible for waging wars. Ve'ein l'cha melchama below Yidei Esav, right? That war is won when it is done through the hands of Esav. Like the Medrash tells us, if Esav had not gone astray, he would have been Ra'oi Lahamid the Malachim. He would have given birth to the kings of the nation. V'Yaakov haya Ra'oi Lahamid Kohanim. And Yaakov would have given birth to the Kohanim, to the priests. But after Esav chose the wrong path and went astray, he lost the brachos and the ability to be an Av and to build Klal Yisrael. Now Yaakov has to fill this void. And thus, he took on both the physical and the spiritual roles. He took on the Kol Yaakov and the Yidei Esav. From this point on, all the kochos, both physical and spiritual, are passed on to Klal Yisrael through Yaakov. And as such, the Medrash continues, Kasher machar bechorotol Yaakov miyad ne'amar alav, natal et Hashem, Yachal al Yaakov pa'amayim. Pa'amim Elokei Yaakov, upa'amim Elokei Yisrael. And it's interesting that the Medrash continues that from the point that Yaakov took the brachos, he took the bechora from Esav, you know, Hashem's name is with Yaakov, but it's in two different ways, two different veins. Sometimes Hashem, it's Elokei Yaakov. Hashem's name is with Yaakov. And sometimes it's Elokei Yisrael. Hashem is with Yisrael, who is also Yaakov. Natlami meno habachor v'nanel Yaakov zachah v'malchus v'zachah b'kuhuna. Once he took the brachos and the bechorah, he became the carrier. He became the one responsible, or the one who would get both the malchus, both the kingship, and the kahuna, and the priesthood. Nanali mimenu Leah v'zilpa v'zachah Yaakov ba'arbasan. And then because he took Esav's portion of the malchus and the yadayim, he also took Esav's portion of who he was meant to marry. And therefore, now Yaakov had to marry four people, Leah and Zilpah, as well as Rachel and Bilhah. When Yaakov bought the Bechorah from Esav, with the Bechorah, he took Esav's part in building Klal Yisrael. And therefore, he got the brachos that pertain to the malchus and to the physical matters. When Yitzchak realized that he gave Yaakov the brachos instead of Esav, the pasuk tells us, Charad charada gedola. He trembled. Not because of Esav's reaction, but as Rashi explains, Lama charad Yitzchak? Why did Yitzchak tremble? Why did he have such a reaction? Amar, Shema avon yeshbi, Shebirachti hakatan lefne hakadol, Vishenitzi seder hayachas. You know, maybe there's something wrong in me that I switched the order, that I gave the bracha to the younger one before the older one, that I changed the order of inheritance, right? We see from this that Yaakov was sure that milechachila, the brachos, were shayach to Esav. Esav was meant to get these brachos of the Bechorah and not Yaakov. Maybe he did something wrong. Maybe he sinned, which caused him to make this mistake. But afterwards, Esav starts screaming, and he says, Vayakvini zepamayim! Oy vey, this trickster Yaakov, he swindled me twice, you know? And Rashi explains, Yitzchak asks to Esav, what did Yaakov do? What do you mean, Yaakveini zepamayim? Amar lo aviv ma'asa lacha? Amar lo et bechorati lakach? He says, you know, he took my bechorah also. This is not the first time he did such a thing to me. Amar bekach hayiti mitzar v'charad shema avarti al shor shazin. He said, it was for that reason that I thought I gave the brach of the bechorah to the wrong person, that I trembled. I thought I messed up. Achshav lebechor beirachti. But now I realize I gave the appropriate blessings to the appropriate person. I gave the brach of the bechorah to the appropriate bechor. And what does Yaakov say? Gam baruch yiyah. He should also be blessed. Meaning when Yitzchak realized that he actually blessed the Bechor, he calmed down. He realized, no, I didn't make a mistake. I gave the right person the right bracha. You know, at this point, Yaakov took on another job in the building of Klal Yisrael. We see this most clearly in the additional name he will be given. Until now, he was Yaakov. He was an Ishtam Yoshev Ohalan, right? He was involved in learning. He was involved in spirituality. But he will be given an additional name, the name of Yisrael, which comes from the word Srara, rulership, and Malchus, as the pasuk says, Ki sarisa im Elohim, Elohim v'im arashim v'tuchal, that you were able to battle and you were able to win. When is he given this name? When he finishes battling with the Sarosh al Esav. Once he has completely taken over Esav's job, when he finishes battling Esav's Malach, he's called Yisrael. He takes on the rulership. He takes on the kingship, which was originally the job of Esav. And this is what the Medrash is referring to, that at the time Yaakov bought the Bechorah, Natal et Hashem v'chal al Yaakov pa'amayim, that when he brought the brachas, the Bechorah, the name of Hashem was rested on Yaakov twice. Pa'amim Elokei Yaakov v'pa'amim Elokei Yisrael. Sometimes with the name of Yaakov and sometimes with the name of Yisrael, because at this point, Yaakov has two jobs and Hashem's name is with him in both aspects. In the Ruchnias, in the name of Yaakov, who was the Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim, and in which was his original job, and in the job that he took from Esav, in the name Yisrael, which is Lashon Sraros Malchus, that he was now the king, that he was now the leader, which was initially meant as Esav's job. And now we can understand Leah's marriage to Yaakov and her unique job in establishing the Shvatim. Leah was destined to marry Esav because she was shayach to, she was connected to the special koach that he had. She was also the Bechorah. She also had this koach of Malchus. And while Esav used his kochos for bad and was not able to channel these propensities correctly, Leah kept them in a state of Tahara. And Leah knew her job was with Esav. But when she saw that he was no longer worthy to establish Klal Yisrael, she did everything she could with spiritual efforts and tefillah to ensure that she would not marry such a Rasha, and that she would merit to marry Yaakov. Once she married Yaakov, her job was to instill the kochos of Esav into Klal Yisrael. It's based on this that we can understand Leah's answer to Yaakov. Mimcha lamadati, sherimit et avicha va'amarta sha'ata Esav v'natalta et habachora. Leah says to Yaakov, Why did I do this? I learned from you. I followed your lead. Since you substituted for Esav, taking his blessings and his birthright, you have become my soulmate. Because what is my job? My job is to build Esav's chelek in Klal Yisrael. You know, and now we can now see that Leah's marriage to Yaakov was not mikra, it was not chance, it was not happenstance, it wasn't the result of Lavan's trickery, but rather at the point in time that Yaakov became the Bechor, the Metzias, the realities changed, and Leah now became Ra'oi for Yaakov. Leah was very much fitting and connected to that role of Esav, and therefore, once Yaakov took on that role, he needed to marry Leah as well. And it's based on this that we can clearly explain why Rachel gave Leah the simanim, even though it was contrary to what Yaakov and Lavan agreed upon. And why Yaakov gave Rachel the simanim, contrary to why Yaakov gave Rachel the simanim in the first place. Because Rachel knew through Ruach HaKodesh that Leah was destined to marry Yaakov. Therefore, she gave Leah the simanim to allow Leah to fulfill her unique mission in Klal Yisrael. She knew that Leah's kochos were needed in the building of Klal Yisrael. We needed those character traits of Esav. And therefore, Rachel, through Ruach HaKodesh, knew this and gave Leah the simanim so that Leah would be able to fulfill her mission. And it's based on this that we can understand Leah's response to Rachel when she asked for the dudaim. And she says, Hama, kachtecha d'ishi, v'lakachta gam et dudei bini. Wasn't it enough that you took my husband? Now you want my son's dudaim? Leah was supposed to marry Esav. She was supposed to marry the Bechor. But once Yaakov bought the Bechora, Leah is to marry Yaakov, who assumed the role of the Bechor. And in order for Yaakov to imbue Bnei Yisrael with the kochos of Esav, he needs to marry Leah, who possesses these qualities. It's for this reason that even Rachel agrees, and therefore she gives over the simanim to Leah. Leah felt that her marriage to Yaakov was not because of Rachel's kindness, but it was actually her right. Once Yaakov assumed Esav's role, it was her place to marry Yaakov, and therefore Leah felt justified in criticizing Rachel for having taken away her husband, because at the point that Yaakov took over the Bechora, she became the wife for Yaakov. You know, it was Leah's job to imbue Klal Yisrael with Esav's characteristics and propensities before he became a Rasha. In fact, Leah's children possessed these qualities. The Torah says, "Vatikra shemo Reuven." Leah has a son, and her first son, and she calls him Reuven. And Rashi explains the name Reuven, and she says, "Vatikra shemo Reuven, Rabosinu Pirshu, Amra, Reuma bein bini leven chami." Look at the difference between my son and the son of my father-in-law. Who's the son of her father-in-law? Esav. Shemachah ha-bechor le-Yaakov, v'zelo mechor le-Yosef, v'lo er er alav, v'lo od shelo er er alav, ela shebikesh lo tzio min habor. You know, she says, look at the difference between my son, my oldest, and Esav. Esav sold the Bechora. My Reuven did not sell the Bechora. Not only that, you know, but when Yosef, who they thought was getting the Bechora, remember the whole situation with throwing him in the pit, he not only did not accuse him, but he actually wanted to help him. He wanted to take him out of the pit. You know, so you see, look at my son versus Esav. You know, this needs explanation. Do we really need to name our children to show and to find differences between the Shvatim and Esav? You know, what is Leah saying by calling her son Reuven? And we can understand this based on what we have said until now. Leah's job was to give birth to children who had the same character traits and propensities as Esav. The difference is that they are to use them for the right purposes. And in the birth of her first son, Leah chose to highlight this difference in his name. While Esav used his kochos for the wrong way, her children used the kochos in the right way. Additionally, the pasuk says concerning Reuven, "Vayelech Reuven bimei ketzir chitin, vayimsadu da'im basadeh, vayave osam Leah imo." That Reuven was in the field, and in the time of the ketzir chitin, and he finds these dudaim, and he brings them to his mother. And what does Rashi comment there? Lahagid shivchan shel shvatim she'eid hakatzir haya. You know, the reason why the pasuk is telling us this, that it was the eid hakatzir, and it wants to give us the shevach, the praise of the shvatim. V'lo pashat yado begezel la'avi chitim usa'orim ela davar ha'efker she'ein adam makbid bo. Wow, look how chashev Reuven was. He didn't take something that belonged to somebody else. He didn't steal, but rather he took something that was hefker, that was ownerless, and that people didn't care about. You know, this too is puzzling. You know, this is the praise that we're giving of the Shvatim, that they are not thieves. Wow, Reuven's amazing. He's not a thief. Really? This is the praise that we need to give for our Shvatim? We can understand this in light of what we have said till now. Since now the first son is born with the koach of Esav, with the Yadayim de Esav, the Torah comes to highlight the fact that even though Reuven has the kochos of Esav, his essence is totally different than Esav's. Esav used his kochos for bad. Esav stole. But Reuven, even though he shared the same nature as Esav, his purpose was different. And therefore he has no connection to Gzela. He is not connected at all to stealing. We find a similar concept with the Avnei HaChoshen. There were 12 stones on the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. Each one is connected to a different shevet. The first stone, which is Keneged Reuven, is called Odem, which is actually red, which is the same color and the same name as Esav. Similarities to Esav are also found in Leah's other children. In Parshas Vayechi, in Berkas Yaakov, in Perek Mem Tes Pasuk Hey, it says, Shimon v'Levi achim, klei chamas mechorosehem. You know, Shimon and Levi are brothers. They're, you know, stolen instruments are their weapons. And Yaakov actually rebukes Shimon and Levi for killing Shechem. And Rashi comments on klei chamas. He says, Omanot zu shel retzicha, chomes hu, chamas hu biyadechem, mi berchas esav hi zo. Omanat shelohi, va'ata chamastem osa hemenu. The craft of murder is in their hands wrongfully, for it's really part of Esav's blessing. And it's his craft, and you, Shimon and Levi, have stolen it from him. You know, so we see that Shimon and Levi also share similarities with Esav, to the point that Yaakov actually admonishes them for it. You know, in truth, though, this koach has been used for good in different points throughout our history. During Cheda Egal, the Levim killed those who served the Egal. And again, during Masa Zimri, Pinchas, who was also from Shevet Levi, was zealous for a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and he killed Zimri for what he was doing publicly, and with his death, the Magefa, the terrible plague on Klal Yisrael, was stopped. And again, we have during the time of Hanukkah, with the war between the Hashmonaim and Yavan, we see how Levi used these propensities for good. And again, throughout the generations. We find a similarity in Yehuda as well. In Parshas Vizos HaBracha, when Moshe blesses Shevi Yehuda, he says, Vizos la Yehuda vayomar, Shema Hashem kol Yehuda, ve'elamo tivienu, yadav rav lo, va'azar mitzarav tiyah. May this also be for Yehuda. And Moshe said, Hashem, listen to Yehuda's voice, and bring him to his people. May his hands do battle for him, and may you be a help against his adversaries. Yadav Rav Lo alludes to the Yadayim Yedei Esav. The Torah says this concerning Yehuda, from whom the kings, the Malachim, were going to come. He therefore needed the koach of Yadav Rav Lo, of the Yadayim Yedei Esav, to deal with the matters pertaining to the wars. As the Gemara says, She'ein Mechama She'ein Ba Miyedei Esav, that when our war is successful, when do you win a war? When it comes from the Yadayim Yedei Esav, from the descendants of Esav, and therefore Yehuda, who was the melech, needed the koach of Yadav Lo Rav. He needed the Yadayim Yedei Esav in order to lead, in order to wage wars. The similarity continues in Yehuda's descendants. The Yedei Esav are the foundations of Malchus Yisrael, and they are also found in David HaMelech. The Medrash tells us in Shmuel, Vayishlach vayivyehu v'hu admoni, kivan shara'a Shmuel, es David hitchil, mitachas va'oleh, amar, av zeshel feith zamim, kimo, de'es amar vayete harishon admoni, amar lo akadosh baruch hu, im yifei naim, David midas sanhedrin hu horeg, aval esav midas atmo hu horeg. No, Hashem tells Shmuel, you need to go and anoint David HaMelech to be the king. And he comes and he sees David HaMelech, and he sees all these similarities between David and Esav. David is called an Admoni. He's called red, just like Esav is Edom. And he wonders, why does Hashem send me to anoint David to be king? You know, in what way is he different than Esav? To the point that Hashem has to answer him. And he says, and Hashem says to him, no, Shmuel, there's a big distinction between Esav and David HaMelech. Esav kills from his own will, but David only does it midas Sanhedrin, from the Sanhedrin's instruction. He says, the kingship necessitates the kochos of Esav. Therefore, David, the king of Bnei Israel, who waged many wars, was an Admoni. He had the kochos of Esav. But the essential difference between the two was that Esav did not use his kochos under the direction of Yaakov, but rather he used them for bad. He killed when he wanted to kill. And David totally submitted himself to the Sanhedrin, and he did everything under the direction. If David killed, it was because it was in the orders of the Sanhedrin. Therefore, the Medrash said that David had yifei einayim. David had beautiful eyes, meaning his eyes always looked toward the Sanhedrin, which are called the Einei Ha'eda. They were the guiding force of Klal Yisrael, and he totally submitted himself to them, and therefore he had beautiful eyes, because his eyes, his direction, was all under the Einei Ha'eda, was under the Sanhedrin. It's interesting to note that after Leah had Yehuda, the Pasuk tells us, Vata'amod miledes, which we simply translate as, she stopped having children. You know, in actuality, we know that Leah had two more children. She had Yisachar and Zebulun. And the break was about 4 years, you know, after Yehuda. Whereas Rachel, you know, who stopped having children for quite a while after Yosef, actually about eight, there was an 8-year gap between Yosef and Binyamin, the Torah does not say Vata'amod miledes, that she stopped having children. So this too can be understood in light of what we have discussed until now. Vata'amod miledes does not mean that Leah actually physically stopped having children. Obviously we know she had two more children. Or even that she took a break. It wasn't such a long break, 4 years. But rather, she stopped having children with her unique character traits and propensities which she imbued in Klal Yisrael. We only find similarities to Esav in Leah's first 4 children. And you could see this even more so if you read the Pesukim with a critical eye. This concept is actually miduyak in the Pesukim. By the first 4 children, the Pasuk says, Vatahar vateled ben, that she became pregnant and she gave birth to a child. But by Yisachar and Zebulun, it says, Vatahar vateled ben chamishi le Yaakov. Meaning, she stopped having children that had her nature and her qualities. And now, these children are Bnei Yaakov. They will inherit his qualities and his propensities. And it is in this way that we can understand Yaakov's sinna towards Leah, as the Pasuk says, Vayar Hashem ki snua Leah. It doesn't mean that Chas v'Shalom Yaakov hated Leah, but rather he hated the Esav in her. You know, while obviously these qualities of Esav were necessary, they were only a means to serve the Ruchnius, right? The physicality was only meant to facilitate the spirituality. And they were not a value on their own. And so Yaakov hated those qualities, and he tried to distance himself from them. You know, we needed to fight wars. We needed to cultivate the lands. But those things are not values on their own, only when they're used to facilitate the Ruchnias. And therefore, Yaakov hated them, because on their own, they have no value. And he tried to distance himself. So it wasn't that Yaakov actually hated Leah, but he hated the Esav qualities that she had. And that's actually the challenge in Klal Yisrael, to take the Yidei Esav, to utilize the physical, the worldly, and our hands to facilitate and to serve and to enhance our Avodas Hashem. Because without the proper direction, they can take on their own purpose and lead us, Chas v'Shalom, in the path of Esav.